We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida, today's Modern Worship. And you have tuned in to the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are thrilled to be back with you here on this glorious, glorious Monday. Hope that you are having a wonderful, wonderful day, that you've got God's strategic plan for your week. You know, some interesting things have happened in the past couple of weeks where things have been, well, one item was lost. It had disappeared. It was at one of our youth events. And this happened to me when I was a youth pastor, and my daughter leads our youth ministry now, and they stopped and they prayed, and the item that they were looking for was found. And then as I was preparing to come in to the radio studio today, we're going to be talking about God's kingdom, and it is the kingdom that is coming. The Lord's Prayer: your kingdom come, your will be done. So we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And I had some material that I was looking for. Now, you have to understand, after 3.5 decades of preaching, and I rarely throw any of my research material out, that I was looking for some material that I had put together years and years ago, and I had searched all my computer files. I couldn't find it. I searched all of my hard copy, well, a good portion of my hard copy files, and I couldn't find it. And so I said, you know, I wonder what prayer would do to this situation. And so I prayed about it. It wasn't a fervent prayer. It was just one of those things where I just wanted to tune in and said, God, you know that I need to locate this. And I've been unable to find it. God, can you reveal to me where this is? And all of a sudden, I mean, it was real quick, a thought came into my mind that, that it wasn't in a file folder, it was in a notebook. And some of my studies, I have taken the time to put together into some notebook forms, some study forms. And so then the hunt is on for this particular notebook. And so I searched all of the notebooks that I had above my desk, the ones that were labeled, the ones that weren't labeled. I found another notebook that's like, oh, I forgot I had that one, for a different time and place study. But this one, I found it all the way at the bottom of a drawer, not labeled, but it was in exactly the color of notebook that God had dropped into my spirit. And so I'm very thankful that God helps us to find the lost items that we are looking for. So I want to encourage you, pray. Now when you get that insight, you need to be prepared for action. We did this one other time, and we ended up dumpster diving. It was back at a time when we didn't have much money at all, and someone had given us $5 in a card, a Christmas card or something like that. And we realized that it was probably still in the envelope, and that the cards were with, or had got caught up as the gathering of wrapping paper and all that. And I ended up dumpster diving, found the $5, but you better be prepared for action. If you're going to pray and God reveals something to you, it is an action plan. It is okay. This is going to help refine your search here. So Once again, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and worship with us at Merit Assembly of God as we continue to grow in our relationship with Him and with one another, and try to reach as many people with the love of Jesus Christ as we possibly can. I want to say thank you today to Bill Andrike at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. 321-759-3284. Now, the reality is it's not going to be long before you may need to turn your heat on. Now, for me, I don't like to turn my heat on very much. I like things on the cooler side, but every once in a while it gets just a little bit too cool. So right now you're needing your air conditioner. One of these mornings you'll wake up and you might need your heat. You know, those days that come later on in the year where you need your heater of a morning, your AC of an evening, those are interesting days in Florida. But if you need somebody to come out and check your air system, climate control system, give them a call at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. They not only do air conditioning, they do heaters as well. And so if you need to have your system checked just to make sure that it's working, first time you turn your heater on, you're probably going to find dust on the coils, and it's going to give you that really lovely burning type of scent. You don't want that to happen any more than necessary. No need to panic. But if you'd like somebody to come and just give your system a once-over, and you're here in Central Florida, give Bill a phone call, 321-759-3284. So, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8, "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So, if you are just tuning into the program here recently, you will find that I'm much more concerned about going through the material and providing an adequate amount of information than I am just plowing through something for the sake of getting through it. You know, when I was younger, it could go on for quite a while, and I realized, you know what? I'm more concerned about you getting it than I am about the time frame. And so even though we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, when we come to these little nuggets in the Word of God that are crying out and saying, you know what, people really need to know this, then I'm going to park. I'm going to take as much time as is necessary to go through this material. So it's going to take us quite a while to go through the Lord's Prayer section of the Sermon on the Mount. We've talked about our Heavenly Father. We've talked about His name. I covered that. I could have gone into more detail, but I'm comfortable with what we did. We're going to talk about His kingdom. Eventually, we're going to be talking about His will and how important it is for us to know the will of God. We're going to talk about provision. We're going to talk about the principle of forgiveness, being a recipient and a practitioner of it. We're going to talk about temptation and deliverance. And so it's going to take us a while to get through this stretch. So we're going to go through this material. You might want to make a note where you can go back and listen to these programs from the WMIEFM.com. website. Just go down to the listen on demand feature and type in the date, and then go ahead and begin to process that information, and that way you can go back, download it to your computer, and you can listen to it over and over and over again if you need to. The first thing that I want to talk to you about is where to that portion of the Lord's Prayer where it says, "Your kingdom come." First of all, it is a kingdom. Second of all, it is God's kingdom. It's not mine. It's not yours. We can be partakers of it, but it is God's kingdom. It's God's glory. And so we need to understand that it belongs to him. I heard a principal, Tommy Barnett, I've heard him repeat it. I don't know if he's the originator of it, but it's don't touch the gold, the glory, or the girls. You know, make sure that you keep those boundaries in place because you want to make sure that you do not violate kingdom principles. So this kingdom mindset is something that Westerners really struggle with. Not only that, the more we in recent history, let's put it this way, in recent history, more and more people are abandoning kingdom mindsets for the sake of the voice of the people. And that's not always going to work out well. That's not always going to work out well. You know, I've told my kids when I was growing up, you may not always want what you think that you want. Sometimes the mercy of God is not giving us what we want. He spares us a lot of hardship, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. But if we continually demand our way instead of God's way, we're going to find there's a lot of heartache in abandoning God's plan. And so God sets things up as a kingdom, not as a democracy, not as a democratic republic. I don't know of any parents that run their household like a democracy where the most votes win. If that's the case, then we're going to have ice cream for dinner every night. You know, there's got to be some sort of structure to the household. And so when we think of this kingdom mindset, I remember watching The King and I with my family, and this particular one had Yul Brynner and Julie Andrews in it, and it dealt with a lady who was brought in to be a teacher. But what I remember was her struggles to understand the kingdom mindset in which she was serving. You know, that there were protocols in place in that culture that were different than the culture she had come from. It had to do with the position, you know, the elevation. It had to do, you know, it really was a struggle for that person. In our day and time, we are so interested in our voice, in our interest, in making our own way in our society that we can get confused when we try to bring a contemporary cultural consumerism mindset into God's kingdom. There's a term that absolutely terrifies people, and it is this, a theocracy. And I'm not advocating for a theocracy here in America. What I am proclaiming today is that in my life, I want God as my king. I don't want him as my president. I don't want him as my senator. I don't want him as in a position that he can be voted out of. I want him positioned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and those are more than just titles in the Word of God. Those are functioning titles. So, a theocracy is a monarchy where God is king. And you might, if you study American history, there was an American preacher named Jonas Clark, and his cry was, "We recognize no sovereign but God, and no king but Jesus." And that battle cry soon rang throughout the colonies, making this not just a battle for rights, the American Revolution, but for religious freedom as well. That would help explain why the very First Amendment of the Constitution deals with our religious freedoms and liberties. The cry rang across the colonies, "No king but King Jesus." Jonathan Trumbull, a British-appointed governor, wrote back to England and said, "If you ask an American who is his master, he will tell you he has none, nor any governor but Jesus Christ." So there was an understanding of the kingdom mindset, and they rejected any governmental interference that tried to circumvent the relationship that they had with God. Okay? And so we're going to look at a number of different things. First of all, I will tell you this, it's a holy kingdom. It's not a cesspool. It's a holy kingdom. God is not a despot. He's not a dictator. He's not a dictator in the way that Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini were. He's not that way. His is an everlasting kingdom. He is a benevolent king. His kingdom is never ever going away. Satan tried to overthrow him and failed. And the Bible records that one day all the nations of the earth will gather and they will try to overthrow the kingdom of God, and they also shall fail, and Jesus shall reign forever and ever. So as monarchies go, Jesus' kingdom is of a different nature than what we see on this earth. His kingdom is not of this world. Let's turn over to John chapter 18. John, the 18th chapter. And verse number 33, this is Jesus on trial before Pilate. "Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you speaking for yourselves about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here.' Pilate therefore said to him, 'Are you a king then?' Jesus answered, 'You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.' Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?' And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, 'I find no fault in him at all.'" And so he tried to get them to release Jesus, to vote to release Jesus. And they said, "No, we don't want Jesus as our king. We want Barabbas." Barabbas was an insurrectionist. He was a murderer. He was just a person who made headlines for all of the wrong reasons. Very much deserved to be incarcerated, and he was granted his release, and Jesus took his place. So, no king. Listen, kingdoms of this world have people who are willing to lay down their lives so that the king will live. The kingdom of God, the king was willing and volunteered to go to the cross that I deserved and you deserved so that we could live. So when we talk about God's kingdom, we're going to have to separate a little bit the concept of an earthly monarchy versus God's kingdom, holy, eternal monarchy. It's similar terms, but completely different perspectives. So his kingdom is not of this world. Therefore, we must learn the nature of the king and the kingdom if we're going to be an effective ambassador or messenger, if we're going to fulfill the purpose that God created for us to be born, we've got to understand this kingdom that we are representing. There are various statuses of people in relation to the kingdom. There are people who rebel against the kingdom of God. They don't want to have anything to do with it. There are people who are very near in proximity to the kingdom, but they haven't entered into it. They're not hostile to it. They just have not entered into it yet. And then there are people who have fully embraced the King of Kings. They have fully embraced the kingdom, and they are walking as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So I'll share some of these principles with you, and then we'll get on a little bit later in this series that we're doing to a more progressive understanding of what it is. And in other words, we're going to go from step one to step two to step three to step four. We're going to just move right on the way through it. The first thing that I want to tell you is in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus answered, "Have you understood all these things?" The first thing that I want you to know is, unfortunately, not everybody's going to heaven. It's not because God doesn't want them there, because he does. It is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. So when we talk a little bit later in the Lord's Prayer about the will of God, there are some things. God, by his own decision, as sovereign of the universe, has created mankind as a unique creation that was endowed with a free will. We have the options to choose to obey or to disobey, to be a part of God's kingdom or to not be a part of God's kingdom. And I will tell you that just because a person lived in America does not mean they're going to heaven. Just because you are famous doesn't mean that you are going to heaven. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. Repentance of sins is absolutely essential. And I can take you to a multitude of places in the Word of God that will show you that not everybody is going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. God wants everybody there. Hell and the lake of fire were not created for men. They were created. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But when we listen, there is only going to be one of two. There's only two options. One is you have God as the king of your life, or two, you have the devil as your slave master. Now, how he chooses to exert his authority in that is entirely up to him, but I can tell you that God does want everybody saved. And so if you are praying for a lost loved one, I encourage you, pray for them the way that we prayed for those lost items, and say, "Okay, God, show me what you want me to do." And then when he says act, act on it. Some will see the kingdom of God, but then they won't participate in it. Some see the kingdom of God and refuse to enter and then shut the door. Matthew chapter 23. Let me turn there. Going to be lots of scripture as we go forth here, because the word of God is what is eternally true. So men's opinions can come and go, but the word of God stays the same. Matthew 23:13, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will have greater condemnation. There's a multitude of woes that are prescribed to several different categories of people. But Jesus starts off by addressing them and saying, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, you don't go in, and you do not allow those who are entering to go in. And so there are people who want to cut off access. That can be through legislation. There's plenty of bad legislation that is out there right now that is trying to eliminate people's access to the Word of God, to the servants of God, so that they could enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of different stuff that is out there. And listen, if it's trying to cut people off from their access to heaven, I'm against that. I am a principle guy when it comes to policy issues. I am not, I don't vote with my wallet. I vote over principle. And so when elections come up, it gets to be a very simple choice for me. It's like, where do you stand on these particular principles? And when you see the different positions that people have, it becomes quite easy to make a choice on it. So, and my principles are founded on the Word of God. They're not somebody else's political platform that I'm interested in. In Matthew chapter 21, verse number 31, this is probably going to be the one that we end on today. It says this, Matthew 21, let's see if I can. Okay. Oh, here we go. It's a long verse. Verse number 28. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. People who do not want others to go in, they may try and keep people from hearing about Jesus. They might try to limit their access to him. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit is going to make a way. Today, enter into the kingdom of heaven and don't rebel against it. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new, tell how great you are, tell my praise to you. It's like an